The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So let me say a few minutes here about the investigation factor of awakening. And it's usually called investigation. And people who look into this will say that it's probably not the right best translation, but it's a pretty good one overall as an overarching generalization, because it involves a exploration, a discovery, a deeper discernment of what our experience is. And this process of exploration is, in English, is often called investigation. And But investigation, if it means a kind of a deeper probing and searching, it's not what is referred to when we're doing this Vipassana practice, but rather it's a state of openness and receptivity to allow the experience to show itself fully to us. And for me, it's represented by the question, what? What is happening here? What? Just what is it? But we never look for an answer as more that the what prompts a clear looking, a clear discovery of a kind of a silent kind of sensing or feeling or looking or perceiving of what is here. And in doing so, we're beginning to enact or tap into our capacity for freedom. That it's so easy to be caught and entangled by our experiences, by our thoughts, by our feelings, by what's happening in the world. And there's so many ways we get entangled, so many ways in which we get attached, we get reactive to how things are. And when there's reactivity, reactivity by itself is not freedom. To respond with choice, to respond with wisdom, can it be an enactment of our freedom. But to react is not. So if we're always reacting and being pulled around by our thoughts and hijacked by our thoughts, if we feel like we're a victim of experience, then we haven't discovered freedom. And one of the ways it can begin, this freedom, is in acts of mindfulness, to be mindful of what's here. But also, acts of mindfulness can also grow to be a little bit stronger forms of freedom, which is investigation. To see, to discover what is here. And the kind of core investigation that's part of Vipassana practice is what, for the, in the retreat, Inez talked about yesterday, Dhamma Vichaya. And vichaya comes from the word prefix vi, and then the root word caya. And chaya means to heap up, to accumulate, and vi means to separate. And human beings have an amazing and a very important capacity to generalize, to lump things together, to hold concepts of things all together, and they're useful. But also they can limit our ability to see clearly what's here, to discern, distinguish the details of our experience. So if I say that I had a difficult morning with the technology, then well, that's a generalization. But what specifically was the experience like of being here with the technology for this morning? Some of it was quite delightful and enjoyable and inspiring, to see the people on the retreat, to see the people on YouTube and the chats, for example, and some of it was quite nice to be exploring the Dharma as I spoke. It was nice to sit and meditate while there was some quiet for me and I was meditating, and then there was the issue of the technology that. There's so many different devices and things here that I got confused about which battery charger that was supposed to be at home and one was supposed to be here. And so it suddenly went dark, my laptop, and it wasn't actually an unpleasant experience at all. It was just kind of, it just was what it was. And suddenly this was there, and there was an issue to look into, and probably the most unpleasant part of it all was needing to ask my wife for some help when she's busy at home, and also wondering how I was going to get back and have everything running in time for the Zoom people. And then the awkwardness of realizing that you could hear what I was saying, some of you on YouTube. And that's, you know, what impact did that have on people meditating? But that was all very particular. And as I distinguished all the different parts of it, I wouldn't say it was a challenging morning here. It had its unique challenges, its own particular things, but I didn't lump it all together as like a lousy morning with technology. It was all these little, if I wrote out the details, the distinctions of moment by moment what was happening, there were challenging parts and not challenging parts. There were pleasant parts and maybe some parts that were not so pleasant. And this ability to begin distinguishing and not lump. And in a sense, Buddhists are, you know, if you know the distinction between lumpers and splitters, Buddhism thrives on being splitters, on really seeing more and more carefully what's really happening here. What are the details rather than generalizing about things? And so this idea of this ability, this clarity of mind that gets cultivated through mindfulness, where the mind gets clearer and clearer, and the details, the particularities, the details of experience, the unique little component parts of experience begin revealing themselves more and more and more. And where that becomes particularly important is when the capacity to distinguish, to see the particularities, the details of what goes on, goes together with wisdom, the wisdom factor. And the wisdom factor is the many things that are considered wisdom, the factor of wisdom in this practice we do, but one of the core aspects is being able to make the distinction between what is helpful and what is not. The distinction between what is wholesome and what is not. What is healthy and what is not. Or the distinction between what has an ouch in it or an ah, this is good. Or a distinction between what is where freedom is or where freedom is not. That distinction is what wisdom is capable of making. Mindfulness puts us in the clarity that we see things as they are and see them clearer and clearer. And wisdom sees what is useful and what is not. And that distinction is where we discover the path, where we discover where the choices can be. And so the simple distinction between being entangled in experience and being free when we investigate it, with wisdom we see actually it's better to be free than entangled. And so to the degree which we have the capacity, we put effort and energy into going in the direction of freedom. And in this case, investigate or discern or see more clearly what the experience is. And so it's said that the investigation factor of awakening, that clarity of mind that can really see the details of experience, not lumping the generalization of what it is, that ability then it inspires the effort factor of awakening, the energy, because we see, oh, this is the direction to go. This is where freedom is. This is where peace is. This is where the lack of stress, the lack of suffering is found. And that's inspiring to make that choice and go in that direction. To go in that direction is another manifestation of our capacity for inner freedom. And as we walk this path, we keep discovering more and more ways in which we can manifest or enact our freedom, until at some point freedom becomes a state that we live in, as opposed to something we find in the details of our, you know, of how we live and the choices we make in our life. So the investigation, mindfulness, leads to the capacity to see clearly. That's called discernment, making distinctions, investigation. And that in itself then is a prompt or a catalyst for the effort factor in practice, so that the effort factor of awakening can get born and come to fulfillment. And that'll be the topic for the next topic for the retreat and the next topic for YouTube and like tomorrow morning. So thank you, and I think this, hopefully this little technology issue today wasn't too much of a interruption at all, and it all worked well enough for everyone. So thank you very much, and so we'll continue.